106.3. Welcome to the last 1 hour of the Crossfire Show, coming to you live from our studios here on Etimiyan Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you for joining us if you're just tuning in. Some weeks ago, we started a review of the Buhari's administration. We started a review of key sectors of Buhari's government. In about 6 days, May 29th, to be very precise, President Muhammadu Buhari's administration will come to an end after 8 years. As President Buhari wraps up this second term in office on May 29, Morning Crossfire has been engaging, you know, economists, experts, in extraing how well the economy has performed during the PMB's tenure. Our guest today is Tao Dile. On this subject, we have had economic experts, Paul Alaje, we've had Richard Friday Noyo, we've had quite a number of things, because Nigerians are saying that they are not feeling the impact, they've not felt the impact of this government in the last 8 years. Tao Dile is a fiscal policy partner and Africa Tax leader at PwC. Mr. Tao Dile, thank you for joining us this morning. It's a pleasure to have you join us on the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
So I'm not going to waste time in going through what Zainab put here. Fantastic work by Zainab, by the way, but let's just jump right into it. Looking at the last 8 years, Ms. Dayo, talk to me. Frankly, has the economy of the country fared any better, or it's been disastrous, mismanaged by the Buhari administration?
Good question. So I think, you know, if you look back, you know, in the past 8 years, of course, there'll be a lot of reasons and arguments if you want to canvass any position. But we have to look at the facts and data. That's something you cannot dispute. So I think it's safe to summarize that the economy was in a bad situation when President Buhari came into office in 2015. But fast forward to 2023, we can also say that he took over a bad economy and made it worse. So, and that's a combination of so many things. Part of it will be suboptimal policy choices. It's easy to blame circumstances out of your control. You can say it's COVID-19. First, in fact, this president came into office, in my view, and spent the first 4 years blaming PDP. And then in the second term, he started blaming COVID-19, Russia, Ukraine, invasion. But these things, to be honest, COVID did not happen to only Nigeria. Russia is not only affecting Nigeria, but there's still countries that are holding up nicely, such that we tend to take all the headwinds, the things that are against us, and we do not take advantage of the tailwinds. For example, oil-producing countries have been smiling to the bank since the invasion of Ukraine. We saw Saudi Aramco declared record profits, humongous amount of profit that it will take time to even comprehend that one company made such profit. For us in Nigeria, we don't have so much to say. So whether you're looking at the key indicators from GDP growth rates, unemployment that is very high, inflation, I don't know whether you want to get into those details. But all
numbers, we will. We will eventually. We will.
Haven't been moving in the right
direction. Mr. Taiwo, let's start with policy formulation around the value of the naira. How would you rate? Because look, we can't really separate the value of the currency from the local economy. How has this government fared in terms of making sure that the naira is stable, that the naira is strong? How would you rate their policies?
Very poor. So this is certainly one of the areas where this government has performed woefully, despite everyone, you know, local economies, international community, everybody is saying that the way we manage our currency hasn't been the most optimal. So first, you have an economy that is largely import dependent, which means whatever happens to exchange rates, in a way would, you know, fizzle down into the economy and then affect the lives of people in a very practical sense. So we used to make free, you know, technically almost free dollars from selling crude oil. Then you could not manage that. You allow the oil theft to to balloon out of control, such that at a point we're producing less than 1 million barrels per day from over 2 million barrels. So your major source of foreign exchange receipts went down significantly. At a time also when there was a decline in foreign direct investments, foreign portfolio investors were actually exiting Nigeria. They were not coming in. They were taking out whatever they had in the capital market, and then government bond and other securities. And also we had a decline in diaspora remittances because there was global. So at the end of the day, the shortfall in the availability of dollars was mismanaged by the government, and then they created a very wide margin between the parallel market and the official rate. Some of it, again, through their policy choices that are suboptimal. Like, you take legitimate items and you ban them from accessing the official market. All you just done is created another parallel market to legitimize that market, whereas what we could have done is allow all legitimate items and demand to go to the official market. Whatever you want to discourage, like importation of toothpick, you impose very high import duties on that without hitting up the FX market, such that this, what we call parallel market, becomes a black market for illegality. And you can completely ignore it, right? People who are doing drug dealing, you know, kidnappers, politicians who stole money, the rates can be 10,000. Nobody will bother about it because all legitimate activities are in the official market. Overall, my response to your question is we mismanage the exchange rate. We have not been able to defend the Naira sufficiently well. I would acknowledge that this was a global problem, particularly around 2022, 2021. The dollar strengthened as soon as the U.S. Fed started increasing interest rates. So part of the decline and devaluation in the value of Naira was outside of our control. But I do think the bigger part of the problem was self-inflicted.
Let's move very quickly now, because we still have other areas that we need to talk about. We'll talk about the Naira redesign policy. We'll talk about the border closure, the anchor borrowers program. But I really, because we're talking money, let's talk inflation. How about inflation figures of Nigeria? Did the Buhari government manage that well as well?
No. We're going to struggle to find what this government
let's find something.
In 2015, inflation rate was around 9.5%, single digit, less than 10%. Fast forward to 2023, it's 22.2% and rising. And when you disaggregate that, it's even more concerning that the highest inflation rate we are finding is in food. Food inflation, people have to eat to survive. When you have 133 million people living in multidimensional poverty, and we also have a data that shows that about 80% of Nigerian households spend almost their entire income just to feed. You can then imagine what happens when that inflation is higher than any other inflation. People can't feed, so which means they are hungry.
Right.
They don't know where tomorrow, you know, will come from. They are hopeless. That's why the crime rate went up. A lot of these, in my view, is also the way the government wasn't able to manage the security situation, farmer herders issues. You create, you know, insecurity for them to even be able to farm. And then for the little that they're able to farm, we haven't provided infrastructure for them to preserve. And then transportation from farm to market has been extremely complicated and costly. So inflation hasn't been well managed.
Indeed. Lagos, if you're just joining us, you're welcome. We're looking at the Buhari's government in the last 8 years, how they performed. They have about 6 days or so remaining for them to stay in office. And we're looking at what they've done in some key areas. On the economy, we've had three different conversations on the economy. This is our third one, our third and final conversation on the economy. So we're going to move this on very, very quickly. Let's talk about unemployment. This government has boasted that they've consistently been creating employment opportunities for the teeming youths. They've named so many areas that they've been able to create jobs. And one of those areas is the Anchor Borrowers Program, which we will come to. By the way, we can even lump the two together. First, let's talk about how the government has performed in the area of employment generation, getting Nigerian youth to be employed. Currently, our figure stands at over 40%. How scary is that?
Very scary. Very, very scary. In a country where you don't have a social security system, because in countries where you have that, it means if you're unemployed, government takes care of you, so you, at least how you can survive without taking into crime. We don't have that in Nigeria. Thank God for our social system and culture where we support ourselves. So you find people supporting their family member, their friend, even random people are being supported. Otherwise, this would have been a bigger crisis for us. So again, if you look at that unemployment data and you disaggregate it, it's even more concerning that the highest, some of the highest unemployment rates are for the, you know, graduates. You know, so these guys have spent their money borrowed, family raised them, and then they graduate and they can't find jobs. The unemployment rate is highest, and they're the youngest people. So young people, graduate, well-educated, are unemployed. So this government, in my view, use a lot of micro approach to solving macro problems. So you go and do uncle borrowers, you give a few thousands of people money, and you say you've created an employment in a country where you have tens of millions of people who are unemployed. The philosophy of the government, in my view, is flawed, because they think that government should provide the employment. It is not their job to provide the employment. Their job is to provide the enabling environment for Nigerians themselves, particularly the private sector and SME, to create the employment. That is why whatever employment they have created is a drop in the ocean, because whatever employment you created, more unemployment were also created because of the policies of government and the microeconomic you know, headwinds that we had to deal with over the past few years.
What would you say are the real causes of the unemployment situation, you know, that we've been dealing with? What are those causes? Do you think the government recognized the causes in their last 8 years in office?
There are multiple issues. I'll say it's multidimensional. The biggest one is the operating environment. So just imagine the cost of this way alone. So I speak to a lot of small business owners, multinationals, big-time investors, and the story is consistent. So the cost of operating in Nigeria is unbelievable. To break even, you almost need fasting and prayer on top of your hard work to be able to break even. As if that is not bad enough, you have over-regulation and regulators overreach. Everybody comes and they run their own government and tell you all manner of ridiculous requirements that don't make sense. Of course, you don't want to start talking about corruption. To get a simple license, to get a simple permit can take forever. And then if you now think about tax, that's even an impossibility. You know, I shared on my social media a few weeks ago, a man who was so frustrated, he just started recording, this is haulage, just to move goods from one part of Nigeria to the other. This guy had payment of about 72 different levies, 2,000 here, 1,000 here, 3,000 here. When the guy gets to where he's going, he's going to add all those costs up, right?
Right.
So essentially, we've made the operating environment so hostile and so difficult that whether you're talking about domestic investors and foreign investors, it hasn't been conducive. Hence, we are unable to create employment.
Let's open up the telephone lines in the first part of the conversation. We're going to talk to a few Lagosians or Nigerians, as the case may be, wherever you are listening to the show. Let's hear your thoughts on any area at all that we've touched this morning. We've touched unemployment, we've touched ease of doing business, and how this has led to massive unemployment in the country. We've also spoken on food inflation as well. All of these areas we've spoken about. So feel free to chime in now. Let's hear you in about 60 seconds or less. Please let's know what you think about our conversation this morning. Mr. Taiwo Oyedele is a tax expert, by the way, with a partner at PwC, and he's been sharing his wealth of knowledge with us. Nzaiwo, after a few calls, we'll head out, take this break. After the break, I'll come to you because we have That's why I'm rushing. We have so many areas to talk about. We want to talk about the impact of debt on local economy as well, how the Buhari administration has managed our debt profile as a country. We want to talk about the government's social welfare programs as well, whether that has contributed, you know, to local economy as well. Joy is joining us now. Joy, hi, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for everything.
Thank you, too.
And God bless that Oga in the studio.
Mr. Tayo, yes.
God bless you so much. You have said it all. When this government was coming to government, I told people that whenever this government is through with this country, anyone that remains will go and celebrate and give testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Joey. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Let's take another call quickly now. Don is here, I think. Dan Baba, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sherry.
Good morning, sir.
Guest.
Yes, sir.
Mine is just a question. I don't want to start talking about unemployment and the things that you people have said already.
Okay.
But I want to ask your guest, is it okay for the incoming government to open our border? Because I don't understand why you close the border. Think that we should patronize made in Nigerian goods, and we end up buying it higher than the imported one, the one that was smuggled into our country.
Hmm.
So do you think for now that we are not...
Consistent closure of borders, yeah.
Or more, do you think we should open our border to help this, sufferness that is going on?
Right.
Do you see?
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan Baba. And we'll come to that. Border closure is actually part of the areas that we're going to touch this morning. Daniel, hi. Good morning to you, Daniel.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
I'm calling for the first time.
It's good to have you.
My own opinion is that concerning the food inflation.
Right. Right.
I think the government, they are not trying at all. They are not trying at all. Imagine somebody, you pick up items from my quest. Before you get down to the place you are going, you have already paid several levies from all these towns, all these boys on the road. And the government, they are not seeing it as a wrong doing. I think they are not, especially this Lagos state of a thing, they are not trying at all, though. At all. If they are listening, they should do something about it.
Right.
They are affecting us.
Right.
Thank you.
Daniel, thank you for sharing your thoughts. We have another caller that is being processed right now. After this caller, I would come to you. Adeshewa, I think. Adeshewa, hi. Good morning to you.
Adeshewa, good morning.
Good morning to you. Yes, please.
Yes, my own contribution is, I think on the level of the lifesavers and the life builders, nothing has been done on that aspect. So I think the incoming governor, government now should try as much, especially this educational sector and the health sector.
Yeah,
that's what we should. Then the question I really want to ask the Mr. Taiwo in that today is that this new redesign note, what is the essence of bringing it out when it's going to vanish with the tickle of an eye? Generally, February, it was as if the whole world is going to crash without this new Naira note. Now, the new Naira, okay, they told us to be using the old Naira note, but nothing, the new Naira note just vanished into thin air. So that's what I wanted. Let him brush it, please.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Mr. Tayo, let's pick it up from where Adeshewa stopped, and that is the Naira redesign. From what the CBN told us at the beginning of that policy, apart from fighting hoarding and all of that, they said that we had too much currency out of bank. And now we are going back to that because the report we heard this morning is that now the currency out of bank has amounted to about 2 trillion, you know, getting to that point that we were before the redesign, you know, kicked in. First, could we have handled the Naira redesign policy better and the implementation, to be precise now, the implementation itself, could it have been better? And what's your position on the currency out of bank status?
Yeah, so the answer to your question is we did not manage that policy well. It could have been done much better. In fact, I can't think of any other way to make a policy worse than what we did with the Naira redesign. So first, we started with the wrong premise in terms of the data and what it meant. So at the time, we had a little over 2 trillion naira outside of the banking system in a country where money supply was over 50 trillion naira.
Mm.
When I looked at the data, Nigeria was actually one of the best in the world. We were ranking with countries like Sweden, where they had a lot of financial inclusion.
Mm.
We should have been bragging about it to say, see what we have been able to do,
mm.
given mm. our circumstances.
Mm. Mr. Taiwo, please hold. I'm sorry to butt in. Please hold on. Please do hold on. We need to take this break. When we return from this break, I particularly would like to get your thought further on this conversation. Lagos will be back in a moment. Stay with us.
If you're thirsty for information,
great conversation,
either sport,
entertainment,
or news, thirst no more.
We'll fill you up on Nigeria Info.
99.3, let's talk.
Guys, it's 2023 and I know the year has been hard. It's been hard for everyone. But what if I told you that you could change things for yourself with only 100 naira?
99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Lagos, Nigeria, welcome back to The Crossfire here on Nigeria Info 99.3. And I am Sheriff Quadri. It's always a pleasure when anytime I have Taiwo Oyedele on the show with me, because we always have so much to talk about as regards to topic. Any topic that we decide to talk about, it's always quite interesting. Taiwo Oyedele is a fiscal policy partner and Africa Tax Leader, PwC. Mr. Taiwo, thank you again for joining us on the show this morning.
Thank you,
sir. All right. So, Lagos, feel free to watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube. We're streaming live on those two platforms. Mr. Taiwo, please, let's continue with our conversation about the Naira redesign policy and implementation and the impact on the economy.
Yes. So, that was a policy that was not well designed and it was extremely poorly implemented. And like many people said rightly, it was a confiscation of people's money, hard-earned money. We saw adults, parents going naked in banking halls. So those are not the kind of legacy you want to leave behind. And like I said, at the data, Nigeria didn't even have a currency problem in terms of currency circulation. Not even currency outside of the banking system. All the data, were much lower than South Africa, Indonesia, India. Of course, I did a calculation at the time, and my conclusion was that America, right, if you take US dollars and you find out the amount of US dollars in circulation, and you divide by the population of the world, not the population of America, population of the world,
mm-hmm.
you get $280 per person that America has printed in circulation. Nigeria has 15,600 naira per person. That's about $34.
Hmm.
This is the least of the problems we had. What I thought was a problem was money in wrong hands, which is something they could have done without punishing 200 million of us that did nothing wrong other than to be Nigerians and wanting to spend our currency.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, because of the way that policy was mismanaged, it has now created the opposite effects of what government was trying to accomplish.
Hmm.
So people withdraw money now and they're not returning them to the
true,
banks. The
true.
Banks were crying.
Very true.
They're receiving.
Very true.
Deposit. Yeah. It's even worse that when they find, because the new currencies are now very scarce, when people find them, they don't want to spend because they don't know what will happen next, right?
Right.
Whether there will be no new currencies until December. So we haven't done well in terms of the Naira redesign. It has created a lot of economic hardship. We had many sectors, manufacturers, even poultry farmers, food and beverage, decline in double digit that they've never seen before. Some of them had record decline in their sales. And what that means is it's not only them that has been affected. The entire value from their suppliers to their employees, it's just, I think it's something that was, it should have been an Africa magic story, not real life.
Not real life experience.
But we went through it.
Right.
Yes, it shouldn't have happened in the first place.
Mm, indeed. Look, let's take some messages. We're going to start with WhatsApp. This person says, They're sending this one in from Airport Road in Abuja. They said the exchange rate was lower when Buhari came into power. Pump price of petroleum products was lower. We had few cases of bombings. Now the level of insecurity is higher. And if you remember, bombing is just another strategy of killing people. Now more people have been killed during this tenure, and you still don't have constant electricity. Our refineries are still not working. This person is just giving us a breakdown of how they perceive the Buhari administration in general. Thank you for sharing your thoughts, the gentleman from Abuja. I appreciate it. Now, Mr. Dawo, because of areas that we need to touch on, let's quickly dive in and talk about another area that's, you know, some people may feel that Buhari government has tried, which is infrastructure. Infrastructure can be tied to the economy as well. How would you rate the Buhari's government in terms of in that area?
I'm sorry, Sheriff, to say that my rating will be very different from what, of course, the politicians have been saying and even what many Nigerians believe. I do not think that this government did well in the area of infrastructure, because you need to put things in context and proper perspective.
Okay.
So, as at the time this government came into power, there was the, ERGP, Economic Recovery and Growth Plan. And Nigeria themselves, this government said to us that the value of infrastructure to GDP was about 35%. Compared to a country like South Africa, if we don't go too far, that was around 80%. So what that meant was Nigeria was doing badly, even by African standards. And so you took a lot of loans between 2015 and 2023 to build infrastructure according to the government. But when you now ask yourself, this is how much money we have borrowed. What is the value of infrastructure we have to show for it? It's so insignificant. Look at the Lagos-Ibadan Expressway. It's a national embarrassment that you cannot build a less than 150-kilometer road in 12 years. We borrowed money. We will not, you know, services on time. Look at Dangote was building a Apapa Urosoki Road, world class quality, finished on time. An individual can do things a lot better than Nigerian government. So look at rail. The amount of money we borrow for the rail infrastructure compared to the value we are getting from it is negligible. So there are a few infrastructure here and there, but in the overall scale of things, we have made significant progress. The number, the length of untarred roads in Nigeria is over 100,000 kilometers. And so what did you do in that 8 years to make a dent in that lack of infrastructure? Not so much, if you ask me.
Indeed. And let's tie that from with what you have said right now about our debt status. The Buhari government, a lot of Nigerians will not want to hear any government, either this one or the incoming one, you know, go cap in hand to say that they want to go and be borrowing again. But let's come back to Buhari government and debt status of Nigeria. Tell me what I don't know, please.
So let me start with what would be very popular, but we need to know, is that Nigeria should not make it difficult for the next government to borrow if they need to. I think Nigerian government needs to borrow.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. So countries usually don't need to pay back their debts. So America currently has over $30 trillion. They have no plans of paying back. So what you do is you refinance it. When you borrow, and it's time for payment, you borrow and also use it to pay back. So what is important for a country is the cost of servicing your debt. That is the issue. So that is the one Nigeria is doing poorly. According to the IMF, for last year, I think it was World Bank,
right,
for last year, 2022, we spent 96% of our revenue at the federal government level to service debt. That is a disaster, right, waiting to happen. That is where the problem is. If you can fix the Nigerian environment such that revenues go up, we reduce mismanagement and inefficiency, and the economy is growing, our cost of borrowing will come down significantly. Nigeria should be borrowing at like 2-3%. In which case, if you're able to do that, you take a lot of debt to develop the economy and create the environment for everybody to prosper.
Mm.
So they've done in all the countries you can think of around the world, they borrow heavily. UAE borrowed heavily to develop Dubai that people like to go to, right? It wasn't their money.
Mm.
And what happened after that? They got the rest of us to pay back every time you fly there. And you pay some. So from an economic point of view, there's no problem with borrowing. The next government should borrow more, but under favorable circumstances and use it exclusively for productive spending. Anytime you borrow, you are spending the money you make tomorrow today. If what you borrow the money for will not make your tomorrow better, you are creating problems. And that's what exactly this government did for the most part of the money that they had borrowed.
And that's quite unfortunate, to be very honest with you, judging by the way you put it. But let's quickly take a look at, you know, what the government has done in area of social welfare scheme. The government came up with quite a number of them: trader money, market money, empower, and the rest of them. How has this impacted on local economy?
Yeah, again, you know, we can look at the outcomes and the impact to be able to assess whether this was effective. So you have farmer money, you have anchor borrowers, you have trader money. And what then happens is, if you take something like the anchor borrower program, the purpose was to provide loans to smallholder farmers so they can link up with anchor, you know, companies for their, you know, inputs. And hopefully you then increase the supply of goods, and then you also empower those people. But what's the result telling us? One, about 76% of people who took those loans are unable to pay back. It could be because they think it's national cake, right? But I think for the large part of it is the inability to pay back. Number two, what has happened to the, you know, price of food products, agri-produce? Nothing has really gone up. In fact, the few times we've attempted to export anything, the bulk of them have been returned for not meeting standards. So you end up with not making a dent. Again, you have a macroeconomic problem, and then you use micro approach in solving it. Whenever you have to intervene in many areas, you want to intervene with exports, intervene with farmers, with traders, it's an indication that the economy itself is not in a good shape, right? Everyone is requiring an intervention. What you should do is to say, what are the policies we need to introduce to take away this pain? It's almost like the knee on the neck. People are struggling to breathe. We've heard about companies that have, you know, exited Nigeria. Game is one example. ShopRite was lucky. They found somebody to buy the company from them. We heard about Unilever now, right? They've been in Nigeria for only God knows how many
decades.
Yeah, they're now closing down some of their plants and stopping you know, production of very, some of very iconic products.
Major products, yes.
And we seem really not bothered, which is a concern. In fact, one of my duties that people don't know, one of the things I do, is that I'm, you know, I'm licensed and I'm trained to liquidate companies. And I can tell you, in the past 2-3 years, I've liquidated more companies than I have done in my career. But these are not very popular companies that you know about. But I'm just telling you that this is a real crisis we have on our hands. So these interventions haven't been effective, at least from my point of view and based on what the data is telling us.
Well, we're going to take one or two calls as we begin to wrap up on the show, because your last word on the show, Taiwo, is for you to give a closing remark or a closing statement as to what the incoming government should jump on economy-wise. In fact, let's take that now. If we have a few more time, then we go to the telephone. What should that be?
Yeah, I'm very clear in my mind. So maybe we don't just make this current you know, administration look entirely bad. So they had a few things that we say they tried, like passing some laws like the Petroleum Industry Act.
Okay.
They reenacted the companies and allied matters that have to make it easier for companies. And then they had the finance app that they used to advance our tax system year to year. And then there was the Presidential Enabling Business Environment Council that did a lot of work in improving the ease of doing business. Unfortunately, President Buhari did not provide the required leadership to translate some of those efforts into concrete results on ground. So to your question about the incoming administration, I think this incoming administration does not have any leeway or any headroom to misbehave or do any wrong thing. Nigeria is at a tipping point. And unfortunately, they also don't have the level of goodwill that Buhari had in 2015. So, but clearly, what they need to do, first and foremost, they need to send the right signal about how they want to run this economy. Some of the policies that have been rushed in the past 1 or 2 months by this administration have to be suspended, first and foremost. You cannot start rushing to do so many things that you didn't do in 8 years. You want to concession a Jakarta company. You pass a fiscal policy measure to impose excise duty that is so high on manufacturing sector that are struggling with record decline in their sales. It's unimaginable. So you have to suspend that. And you have to give us a clear plan for how you're going to remove first subsidy and also manage foreign exchange so that we can harmonize the rate. This disparity that is so huge that we have between the official rates and the parallel market rates is shutting in investment. Everybody is doing let's wait and see. So that signaling is important. Have a competent team to run the economy in key areas. And more importantly, there should be coordination. When government speaks, it should be government speaking, not individuals in government saying what they believe, sometimes out of ignorance and creating confusion in the system.
Taiwo Idili, thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Morning Crossfire. Taiwo Idili is a fiscal policy partner and Africa tax leader, PwC. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, sir.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Lagos, that's our show today. Tomorrow on the Crossfire, we have another big one, you know, coming up on the review of Buhari's government in the last 8 years. Guess what we'll be talking about tomorrow on the show. Yes, of course, you guessed right. We'll be looking at the power sector, how the government has fared. We'll be looking at the Siemens power deals. We'll be looking at the discos. We'll be looking at the Gencos. We'll be looking at all of the areas on the show. I'm Sharif Quadri. Thank you for being a part of my morning. I'll be back on the radio 5 a.m. on the Crossfire tomorrow. Daily Digest with Jimmy is next. Lagos, adios.
Stay one step ahead with the latest news and trending conversations here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Don't tell people, are you added weight? Why are you losing weight?
Yes.
Are you eating? No, it's not your business.
That money, the passes.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.